This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Marty, welcome back in. We're raring to go. It is 8:42 on this Wednesday morning. And joining us now, our man from Birmingham. You hear him each and every day right after the Budweiser Sports Line on the Jocks Roundtable. Jim Dunaway. Jim, how's it going, my friend?
Going great, man. Back from Tampa late last night and up and going this morning, about to head into work and ready to start that 232-day countdown to the next season.
Yeah, not that Jim's hasn't already started counting down, but I guarantee you that was off the top of his head. 232 days.
Oof.
Mark it right now. Jim, takeaways from Tampa, your thoughts. We've decided on our radio show to sort of accentuate that game as a talking point, and it's worked out pretty well for us so far. We've found a lot of people have been willing to talk about it to this point. What are your takeaways from that thing now that you're back and looking back over it?
Well, other than the two plays that resulted in touchdowns and were debated about rub or pick or should have been called or not should have been called, to me, the depth of Alabama's defense, how not having, you know, a linebacker here, Eddie Jackson there, not the same depth as you had in 2015, ended up being a huge storyline in the game. And I have to start believing that if Jeremy Pruitt had known that the offense had gotten into such a pattern of not picking up third down plays, that at some point his substitution pattern early in that game would have been very different. I mean, the number of snaps that the starters played on defense is astounding. And when you get to the end of the game and Clemson ends up running 96-plus plays, and you've got the lead with 2 minutes and 7 seconds left, and your, you know, elite defense is out of gas and can't make a stop, that ended up being the biggest storyline in the game. And you've got to wonder that if you would have told Jeremy Pruitt that Alabama would have been 0-for-13 on third downs to end the game, he probably would have run some of those other 4 and 5 stars off the bench and gave some of the ones a rest earlier in the game so that they had some gas, some legs left for that final drive.
Yeah, third down conversions, Jim. That's just it's pathetic. I mean, that's not something you expect to read on the stat sheet from an Alabama team. Also, the passing game. You know, we talked about going into this contest, can Clemson make Alabama one dimensional? And I said before the game, well, yeah, they want to. They want to see Bo Scarborough probably carry the ball, even though he had, you know, a good night before he was injured. Because if that's the case, they're not throwing the ball. And Alabama, other than the O.J. Howard pass, which was a beautiful pass, you got to think, Jim, in the offseason, they have really got to focus in and get Jalen Hurts a better downfield passer.
Well, that's the big thing to work on in the offseason is Jalen Hurts' passing game. And I really wonder if that's where Tua comes in the offseason, too. A 5-star guy who's on campus now is going to work through spring ball. It'll be interesting to see if there's a legitimate quarterback battle in Tuscaloosa with another real true freshman and now the experience of 15 games in Jalen Hurts, if that turns into a quarterback battle, because you've got a guy that can, you know, at least on the high school level throw the ball really well, and then Jalen Hurts, who had all the composure of a champion all season long, but from the LSU game on was very one-dimensional. And I really think it started with the fact that he was turning the ball over so much in October before they got to LSU that, and then he had that interception first drive at LSU that right. It became a talking point in the offensive meetings about protecting the football. Don't turn the football over. And they got where they didn't trust Jalen to throw the ball down the field. The Washington game was a great indicator that we're just going to win this game by running it and playing defense and see what happens. And then you go up against an elite team like Clemson, who runs as many plays, and they've got a good enough offense, great receivers, an unbelievable quarterback, that you've got to score some points. And now you've got a month, 2 months of playing football without trusting your true freshman quarterback. His swagger got less and less impressive as the season went on. And by the time they needed him to open it up and throw the ball, he wasn't throwing it unless the receivers were completely wide open. And his timing on the downfield passes just was non-existent. So I think maybe the coaches, Lane Kiffin and the offensive staff, really, you know, cut into his swagger from the LSU game on, and he did not get it back.
Jim Dunaway from the Jocks Roundtable joins us. Jim, this season has concluded, and from almost every measurable you can imagine, the Southeastern Conference was not the best conference in the country. And, you know, for years it looked like a runaway train is still gathering momentum. Any obvious, clear themes as to why that played out that way?
Well, you know, if you have the national champion, that always makes your conference look better. So if Alabama had won, then, you know, the storyline and the rhetoric may be a little bit of difference, but the gap between number one and number two and three is huge, and you don't have that as much in the ACC right now because, you know, Florida State and Louisville had very good moments, and then there's really good depth right behind those two teams. So, and you've got the national champions, and that just makes the ACC look so much better. It's really, you know, funny we're sitting here as everyone turns to basketball season and we look at it, the ACC, that basketball conference, and you really look at it top to bottom on how good of a football conference it was this past year. And I know Dabo was really adamant afterwards about you've got to change your story now. You got to change the way you cover things because we're not going anywhere. The ACC is going to be here for a while. And we all know the SEC will be back, but it'll be interesting to see how long the ACC can keep this going. And if these two Southern conferences with their hotbed of recruiting can stay ahead of the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 for the foreseeable future. Because if you look back to the last 4 years, Alabama just has one national championship. Ohio State's got one. Florida State and Clemson each have one. That's two ACC schools in the last 4 years that have won half of the national championships.
Jim, we talked about it earlier today on the program. No matter how much depth you've got and how much five-star talent you have, and certainly Alabama's got it, and all indications are they'll have it again with this signing class. But so will Ohio State and Clemson, the teams that are always there. So no matter how much you game plan, it's bounces of the ball. It's injury luck. I mean, you go back to Auburn winning their year, and I remember games in Starkville and in Lexington that they pulled out. Alabama having other teams have to do some work for them, and you know, Iowa State knocking off Oklahoma State and getting into position to play LSU again. No matter how much you game plan, it seems to boil down to how that ball bounces and so many times to get you to the championship game.
Yeah, for instance, NC State, their kicker makes that kick
probably
9 out of 10 times. He misses it, and Clemson wins that game. If NC State makes that kick, Clemson's not even in the college football playoffs. I don't know who replaces them, but you wonder if Alabama's national champions today was whoever the other team was. Because Clemson, for 2 years, is the on roster, on paper, the second-best team, or now the best team in America. And, you know, their two rosters, Alabama and Clemson, compare so much. But yet there's Clemson that could have very easily had two losses within their own conference and not even been a part of this playoff. So, yeah, the bounces are really huge. And you just go back to Alabama and Ole Miss for Alabama. When you're down 24-3, you need a bounce or two to get back in that game, and it happened for Alabama there.
Jim, with you and collectively Ryan and LT on the Jocks Roundtable, what do you suspect the off-season rhetoric will be from you guys concerning Auburn?
Well, you know, health, you know, you guys are just bringing it up, the health of that team. You know, it's a different ending for Auburn if the quarterback is healthy and if the running back, if Petway is healthy. And you look at every preseason projection now as we get ready with the way too early. And, you know, Auburn's anywhere from 11 to 20 to start off the year. So everyone's buying in to Jarrett Stidham being the answer at quarterback. And you look at Auburn when they've got a viable quarterback that can actually play, you know, D1 football and stay healthy, then they're a really good football team. So I believe they, you know, Gus and those guys really believe that with Petway back healthy, with some of those offensive linemen back, with the depth they have on the defensive line, I know you lose some big players, but with that depth back on the defensive line, the secondary will be fine, and you throw in a quarterback for those young receivers, Auburn feels like they got a chance to contend in the West and maybe end up in Atlanta. So you're looking at a top 15 team on paper there that, you know, for whatever, you know, even with all the injuries, still finished the top 25 team this year.
Jim, we've been to Pasadena, Tempe, New Orleans, Miami, covering these championship games before. How did Tampa stack up with those cities?
The city itself was fine. I mean, it was really a good time, and the committee did a great job of of hosting the teams and the bands and the cheerleaders and the fans. But when you get to the stadium, I don't know if any of the fans who went from your listening audience have talked to you, but security to get in, which is always a bigger deal at the national championship game than it is other games, was a disaster. I mean, I had friends who stood in line 2 hours just to get into the stadium through security. An hour and a half was a pretty common comment from some of my friends who were trying to get through security to get in. And I'm not talking about media security. Ours was very quick and in. I'm talking about fans getting through the security inside the perimeter to come inside the stadium. So when you have an hour and a half wait to get in, I know the world we live in and we all want to be safe, but you probably need a better setup than that. And then once you're inside the stadium, you know, you pay a lot of money to be a Tide Pride person, and the seats you end up getting are maybe some temporary seats that are put into the stadium. You know, it's an NFL stadium that was expanded enough to host this thing. And, you know, it wasn't my favorite stadium. I don't love the one in Phoenix either. I like the Rose Bowl. Love the one in New Orleans, despite, you know, some of those seats being so far away. And I love Dallas, but, you know, right now in my book, you could flip it between the Rose Bowl and Dallas every year, and I'd be happy. We'll see what the Atlanta Stadium looks like. It's supposed to be better than Jerry's World in Dallas, so that'll be interesting in a couple of years.
You know, we tell our audience, Jim, you know, when it comes to the championship game, it's corporate America. You know, Tide Pride member and Bama fan for life, but, you know, they're putting those corporate bigwigs in those seats, and whatever's left over, they'll let you scrounge one of them up.
Yeah, and I wasn't disappointed with the number of Alabama fans that were there. I was just impressed with the number of Clemson fans that was there. I'm not good at breaking down the stadium, but it seemed to be 70-30 for Clemson fans. It was a huge showing for Clemson because they believed they could win, and I'm sure all those fans were glad they were there.
Jocks Roundtable, weekdays, middle of the day, right here. Jim Dunaway joins us from the Jocks Roundtable on a Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Always great to catch up with you, Jim. Thanks.
All right, guys. I love the show.
Hey, thank you. Love yours as well. You'll hear it in about an hour and 8 minutes, the Jocks Roundtable with that.